Were you hoping to make your comment at the next city council meeting by Zoom? Well, friend, that's not an option. Today, we're going to discuss the new ban on remote comments at our city council meetings. Hi, I'm Manny Gomez, and this is Table Talk, a podcast about our hometown of La Mesa. To learn more about this, we're joined by a neighbor who's lived in La Mesa over 30 years. She's a volunteer with San Diego 350, which works to prevent the worst effects of climate change. She's worked on La Mesa's Climate Action Plan in 2018. She's also an advocate of switching from gas to electric. She lives in a fully electric home and is a member of the San Diego Building Electrification Coalition, which promotes electrification of buildings. And because of all that, she's a frequent commenter at our city council meetings, often remotely. And that's what we're going to talk to her about today. Welcome, Wendy Mihalik. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us today. How are you doing, Wendy?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
All right. So let's give a quick understanding of where we're at. Will you explain the change that was made to the rules for La Mesa City Council meetings?
Sure. Let me just go back to a meeting that took place on February 13th of this year. That council meeting was verbally assaulted by a group that misused remote public comment over Zoom to spew hate speech. We were all shocked. 2 weeks later, on February 28th, a council subcommittee recommended updating the city's policy on public comment. They proposed discontinuing remote public comment based on a staff report that said, there are technical difficulties with Zoom. It's too tough to deal with. And also, this was introduced during the pandemic. The pandemic is over, so we just don't need it anymore. In spite of overwhelming public comment at that meeting to keep remote access, the council decided in a 4-1 vote to suspend all public comment over Zoom. And this is not just for council meetings. This is also for all city meetings, including commission meetings. They did agree to continue to evaluate guidelines and regulations for the potential reinstatement of remote public comments. So they kind of left the door open on that. And I will just say, of course, I support continued remote public comment. And I'm part of a small group of La Mesans who feel the same. We've been reaching out to others in the community and encouraging them to voice their opinion to the city council and staff and get this Zoom reinstated as soon as possible.
Yeah, and this is kind of like now that COVID is over, a lot of businesses have started calling employees back into the office. Isn't this just the same kind of situation? I mean, if residents feel strongly about something, why can't they take the time to make the 5 or 10 minute drive to City Hall to speak? Is that kind of what the logic behind this is, you think?
That's probably part of it. But if you step back, first of all, not all businesses are going back to in-person for everything. Some of them, many of them are still hybrid. They allow employees to work remotely sometimes and come in other times. So it's not completely gone from the business sector. As far as governments are concerned, Common Cause conducted a survey last year of California cities, a quarter of whom actually responded. They determined that most cities, 3/4 of the ones that responded, have kept Zoom as part of their public discourse. So it's not a vestige of the past, and I would argue that it is the way we operate now. It's embedded in everything we do. And as was mentioned in the introduction, I attend not only La Mesa Council meetings, but I attend SANDAG meetings, I attend San Diego City Council meetings, I attend Environmental Commission meetings at different cities, and they're all remote. And I would not be able to do that personally if they weren't remote. So participation in these kinds of things is absolutely amplified by having greater access.
Yeah, I would agree. And I want to just share some quick statistics of residents here in La Mesa. So 27% of La Mesa homes have children, 14% of La Mesa residents are over 65, and 8% of residents under 65 have a disability. Plus, there are a lot of folks who have a job or life situation that makes it difficult for them to attend meetings in person. And obviously, these are the types of residents here in La Mesa that may take advantage of the opportunity to use Zoom more frequently. So yeah, I could see where it's like, you know, if we want to have more participation from everybody, then we need to give everyone, including these people that may not have the time, the chance to voice their opinions and make themselves heard, which there is some trade-off to that. Okay, let's get a little more into the why of this decision. When this change was introduced at the city council meeting, they decided two main points. First, that remote comments were originally introduced to allow for public participation during the COVID lockdown, which is no longer happening. And second, that remote comments have generated a lot of delays due to technical trouble. Can you talk about the background to this decision?
Well, my personal experience with La Mesa City Council using Zoom is that there haven't been many headaches. So I haven't seen many glitches. I haven't been at every meeting, but obviously staff feels that to some extent. I'm going to go back to the Common Cause survey because they wanted to kind of get to the truth on all this. They wanted to know, are cities keeping Zoom or not? Is it too costly and too much of a drain on staff time or not? Do the irritations of it, such as potential technical difficulties every now and then, and also more divisive speech, outweigh the benefits of increased public participation? And for the respondents to that survey, it was an overwhelming, it's a net positive. It is absolutely feasible to implement and regularly offer. It's not a big deal. It doesn't cost much more or any more for some cities. Having more participation from the community is good. So I'm not sure if that answered your question fully, Manny, but I just wanted to say that Common Cause did a good job of looking at what cities are doing. And most of them appreciate having this increased civic engagement through Zoom, and they're using it.
Yeah, no, and I mean, obviously, there are some negative aspects, as you mentioned before, and that we'll get into here in a bit. But I think the positives from the aspect of letting citizens voice their opinions and be heard and hear what they have to say, there's a definite advantage there where that's going to benefit more people than it will potentially harm them. But, obviously nobody wants to hear the kind of language that we heard at that meeting that you'd mentioned. Comments that were made at that meeting were absolutely horrific. They were targeting so many members of our community and deeply painful to hear. I can understand why people would want to put an end to Zoom bombing, but La Mesa is far from alone in being targeted by this kind of organized attack. A number of other cities, including Walnut Creek, San Jose, Richmond, El Cerrito, San Francisco, Berkeley, Fremont, and Redwood City, have banned or restricted remote comment. So why should La Mesa respond differently, Wendy?
Well, those are some cities that have gotten rid of Zoom for their own reasons. Not all cities have. So you've cited a number of them. The city of San Diego has not gotten rid of remote public comment. Instead of just simply getting rid of it and thinking that's going to solve the problem, what the city of San Diego did is they called it out. They issued a public statement saying that this is not part of our community. This is not what we believe. This is hate speech. We don't condone it. So they called it out and they continued because bottom line, no one builds better communities by shutting people out. And I think it's just important to keep the dialogue going. The county of San Diego also keeps remote call-in available. And they've been targeted with all sorts of things. It's horrible. The hardest part of all of this is that this hate speech, it's generally protected under the First Amendment. It's a free speech right. And we don't want to hear it. We don't want to be subjected to it, but we have a constitution that allows that kind of thing. There are lines that can be crossed, but these people that Zoom bombed that meeting in February, they knew exactly what they were doing, if indeed they were people. There's been some research that shows that some of these things may actually be AI. We have to take a step back and look at all the angles of this, and I don't think that's been done yet in our city.
Yeah, and I was actually there at that meeting when these comments were made, and it was hard to put into words, but it was like people were visually shaken. There was this air of disbelief in the room. People were looking at each other like, is this really happening right now? And people were verbally saying, why are we letting this happen? Stop this, turn them off, stop letting this happen. And they stopped the meeting and they had the city attorney explain that, yes, this is something that we have to allow because it is a First Amendment right. And we had to endure this comment after comment. And it seemed like it was, for the most part, it seemed like the comments were organized. Like it was people one after the other calling in and getting to the same same rhetoric. So aside from that, there was a very scary incident in Walnut Creek, which banned remote comments in October in response to Zoom bombing. Then just last month, a man walked into their city council meeting wearing a swastika and used the public comment to spout all sorts of vile beliefs for 2 straight minutes. Not surprisingly, everyone present was horrified. For me, I could see this as being part of the logic of why they're doing this here in La Mesa and in other cities, is if you're going to make these comments, you're going to have to come down in person and show everybody your face and do this in front of people, which to some extent may stop this from happening. But, you know, in this instance, it emboldened this individual to do just that, come down and just say, you know, this is who I am. This is what I believe. I'm here. Any thoughts on that?
I was in a Helix Water Board meeting last year, and this trove of, I'm going to say, 5 or 6 roving disruptors showed up at that board meeting. And it had to do with a toilet to tap discussion. And they came up and they totally disrupted the meeting. But nothing that they did was egregious enough to have them walked out of the room. And that same group, I understand, has been at other meetings in the City of San Diego council meeting. And in fact, they went to a La Mesa council meeting and talked about how contrails are a government plot to poison us. I mean, you know, it's just crazy, crazy stuff. So we have people who have wildly different views. And Manny, you're right. What happened in February was so shocking. I've never heard that kind of stuff spoken out loud. I really haven't. But that doesn't mean that we should shut the tap. That's my view. I mean, I'd like to just read you some of the comments that have come in from La Masons on this issue, if I may. Here's a small business owner. This is as a result of our little group of people encouraging friends and neighbors to contact council and tell them what their views are. So some of them have actually forwarded their comments to me. One is a small business owner, and she emphasized, quote, people support what they help to create. So again, that's public participation. Another La Mason is a science teacher. She likened the Zoom bombers to the non-residents who drove into La Mesa the night of May 29th, 2020. She says, quote, those rioters and arsonists didn't care about the values behind the protest. Their goal was chaos. By silencing the Zoom calls, you're silencing the voices of your own people. That's exactly what the bombers wanted. They relish stemming public discourse. So this is the rub. On the one hand, you've got this offensive, awful stuff. And on the other hand, you have the rights of most people, the majority of people, the vast majority of people who just want to be able to contribute.
Yeah, and that's kind of the price. It sounds cliche, but that's the price of democracy to some extent. You have to take the good with the bad. Like you said, the comments were just abhorrent. It was uncomfortable. I had never heard anything like that, just live, you know, always recordings and things that you see on movies and documentaries and things like that. But being there as these things were being said was very unsettling. It's the price you pay for free speech. Unfortunately, that's, you know, you have to, if you're going to allow, you know, these people to speak, you have to allow those people to speak. And it's the cost of freedom, so to speak. Now, while live remote comments have been banned, the city is still accepting write-in comments. In your opinion, is that not somewhat of a solution?
Well, write-in comments have always been accepted, and they're never heard. Pre-COVID, you could actually send an email with a written comment to the city clerk, and she would read it out loud in the room during the council meeting. So they gave voice to written comments. They don't do that anymore. There is most citizens, I'm not sure how many actually go to the council agenda online and get the HTML version of it so that they can see the presentation material and minutes and things like that. But that is another way that written comments can be submitted. You can add a public comment to that agenda. It's an e-comment. You have to do it 24 hours prior to the meeting start. And those are they're not read out loud. We don't know if council members read them or not, quite frankly. They're busy people. Who knows? So my view is that spoken word is far more impactful and should remain.
Yeah, I would agree. If they were to implement or re-implement the reading of submitted public comments, would that, you know, in your view at least, would that solve some of the problem, or you still think that's not enough?
If you remember back in those days and heard Megan, the city clerk, read these things, she is a speed reader. So when she reads them, it's just a bunch of words. So it's not the same as the spoken word from the person who's trying to get a point across. So it's not an adequate substitute. I just think they need to keep remote access. So, you know, the Anti-Defamation League, I mean, these are people who make it their business to help with things that are happening, this kind of discourse. They put out a toolkit for responding to disruptions in public meetings. And it has a lot of points, but one of the main points is call it out. It's important that elected officials and community leaders, quote, can take steps to combat hate by exercising their own free speech rights to make it clear that such rhetoric is unacceptable and antithetical to your community's values of inclusivity and equity. I don't think our council has done that. I don't know if they certainly didn't do it when we were all in shock at the February 13 meeting. They didn't do it at the February 27th meeting. I mean, they just need to call it out. That's a first step. The ADL also has other things like, why not have online speakers identify themselves the way that people in the room have to identify themselves? When you fill out a comment card for public comment in the meeting, you have to tell them your name, tell them where you live, tell them what the topic is that you like to speak about. When I log into Zoom for public comment, all I have to do is give them my email address. That's it, at least right now. So they could enact some more identification type things. They also, ADL also encourages written comment. So that's also a way that your comment could get in. But again, I would suggest that it's not really heard as well. And call it out. Call it out in the moment. Communicate. Talk about it. We're not talking about it in La Mesa. We're using the ruse of technical difficulties, and Zoom is no longer needed because of COVID. We're using that rather than talking about the real thing here, which is hate speech.
No, yeah, I totally agree on that. Nothing's going to change if we just sweep these things under the rugs. We all know it's out there. And when it presents itself, just like you said, you've got to stand up and go, no, that's not okay. You're allowed to do that and say that based on your rights, but we're also allowed to say that what you're doing is disgusting. What you're saying is not good.
Right.
And it doesn't reflect La Mesa as a community. And I think that is a strong point, that we should see that more from our council members, from the mayor, you know, from these prominent people in prominent positions. They need to stand up and vocally say, you know, this is not acceptable. And to you know, whatever extent, I really haven't seen a whole lot of that. So that would be great to see.
I would also add that it's behooving to us as residents, as citizens, to do the same thing. I mean, if a Zoom bomber preceded my comment in a public comment forum, I would call it out. You know, I would say that's not part of my belief system, and I don't think that represents my community. So I think all of us need to call it out. And the more we call it out, the more we make it visible, the more we can tamp this stuff down, perhaps. I mean, there's another example of communities that went through terrible LGBTQI issues and demonstrations and awful behavior and commentary. And what some of them have done is just put a flag in the room, you know, put an LGBTQ flag in the council chambers, along with the American flag and the California flag, and they can see what kind of community supports LGBTQ rights. I mean, it's that kind of thing. You need to kind of embrace it. And like I said before, you don't stop hate by less speech. You do it by more speech. And that's ACLU. That's what they say.
Now, are there some reasonable rules we could implement around remote comments that you think would help at least maybe assuage people's fears that this will continue to happen, or just to say, you know what, this is going to happen, but we have these things in place to kind of help control the situation or explain the situation better?
Well, as I said before, you know, we could require more identification. Now, that doesn't mean that they'll give you a true answer, but we could require the same kind of identification that in-person commenters have to give. That could be part of it. We could also enable the video on Zoom So it's not just a name on the screen. You can actually see someone. And if it's AI that's doing these comments, then that would take care of that. In fact, one of the commenters, the only commenter at the second meeting where this rule was rolled out that was for it, said, I want to see their face. You can see my face. I want to see their face. So that would be another thing that the city could look into. All the other Zoom meetings that I'm on, we have video capabilities so we can see our members. There's also the timing of when public comments take place. For those who aren't familiar, there are really a couple of different avenues or timings of public comment. One is a general public comment for things that are not on the specific agenda of that meeting. So this would be, you can comment on, you know, a pothole in your neighborhood. It's not on the agenda, but you can speak on it, for instance. On that public comment, rather than have it at the beginning of the meeting, you could put it all the way at the end. So you could have whoever wants to be disruptive has to sit through the entire council session before they get a chance to raise their hand and speak. You can also allow the people in the room to go first. This is, I think the mayor has started doing this, but you can take those comments first rather than remote comment first. That would give the people in the room greater access, and the people on the line, you know, maybe they won't get their comment in time because there's a 15-minute limit that hasn't been strictly enforced. But, you know, there are ways. But this, I think, just went right to the most radical approach, which is just get rid of it. I think they owe us a more determined look at all the aspects of this and come up with some suggestions rather than just say, get rid of it.
Yeah, and it was a pretty quick turnaround. I mean, it went from 1 week, these comments were made, and the next week, comments were being banned. So there really wasn't much of an open discussion that was had. As you said, it was behind closed doors with those committee members, and they just said, this is, and it's honestly the easiest solution. The easiest thing they could do to stop this from happening again would be to do just this and ban public comments over Zoom. And,
right.
You know, they could put a little bit more thought behind this and come up with, you know, some of the solutions you had were excellent. Have people show their faces on Zoom, have them have their name displayed and make them identify themselves properly to the room and have their faces recorded into record and show them saying the things that they're going to say. I think that's a great solution. And those are the types of things that I think we should have started with rather than just going straight to the ban.
I agree.
Well, I want to thank you again, Wendy, for joining us. It was great talking with you on this subject. Do you have any final words for our listeners out there?
No, I would just say that if those who are listening to this have a view, please contact La Mesa Council members and staff members and let them know what you think. It's important to raise your voice.
All right. I second that. Well, that's it for this episode. Andy Trimlett and Josh Crimston produced this podcast. And a big thanks, as always, to Jordan Crimston for composing our theme song.